As Richard would say if he was here, work day starts when y'all can get here and ends when y'all have to leave. For Don, we want to give him a head start, so we told him 6 o'clock. Had a special made bulletin just for Don. See his special made bulletin? Doesn't quite look like yours. The ink is still warm. Just Gotcha. Don just never sure what time we're going to start anything around here, so we like to keep things changed up for him a little bit. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love for us. Father, we just pray tonight as we look into your word that, Father, you will guide us in our study. Father, that we can learn truth from your word. Father, that we can grow in our knowledge and understanding of you. And I just pray this in your most precious name. Amen. When I say God, what comes to your mind? You know what? That's what that says right there, too. What else?
Creator.
Yep, I think it says that there, too. What else?
I am.
That doesn't say that there. But we might get to that. Amazing. Do we have you confused, Susan? We're studying what we believe, or actually I'm telling you what I believe about certain things, and my question is, when you hear God or somebody saying, let's talk about God and his character, what comes to your mind? Almighty, Creator, awesome, holy and righteous, merciful. All these... He heals. You know, there are so many things that we can attach to God, and I think sometimes we don't really think about who he really is. One true and living God. And as we see his instruction throughout the Word of God, he makes it pretty clear. He is the one and only. Exodus chapter 20. If you could read that little thing over there, you would see Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. He is the only God. Deuteronomy, get your fingers warmed up because we're going to move through a lot of scripture tonight. Wait, what if I said when I think of God, I think of a wild ox? A wild ox. You ever thought of God that way? Okay, just hold that. Linnea's like, where's Pastor going with this? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's one God. Three parts, one God. And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the ways, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Let's see, what should be the center of the focus of our life? God. What should we be doing? According to verse 7, we should be diligently teaching our children. Can you imagine what society would be like today if we had not put this verse on the back burner generations ago? There'd be a lot of people out of work. Policemen, hospitals, prison guards, yeah. There wouldn't be so many people in prison if the children had been diligently taught to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 2 says, "And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one." There's only one God. But yet, we see today people worshiping all kinds of different objects, money, gods. You know, we don't think about it too much in this country, but around the world they worship all kinds of other gods and objects. But he warns us that we need to worship only the true and living God. When I think of God, he always has been and always will be. And he will reign through all eternity. And I know that when we think of... I found this chart, and I'm going to try and... It's old and the middle of it's worn out. It was 2 pages. We'll try and figure the middle out. But God, it says God existed in eternity past, and then you get to the other end of this chart, he exists in eternity future and will always be. He always has been and he always will be. And that's kind of, you know, that little gap in between our ears. It's hard to comprehend someone who always has been and always will be. But then when we think about us, he knows every breath. He knows every hair on our head. He knows everything about us. And I don't think we can even begin to do that. Present before creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's the creator of everything. He's perfect in every way and has never sinned. And that's hard for us to fathom, never sinning, but to be God Almighty, he could never have sinned because he wouldn't be God if he had sinned. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, verse 22 says, God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. How strong is God? I don't know how strong an ox is, but I've seen them yoked before pulling wagons, but I think if we looked at this in today's, you know, that was one of the most powerful creatures that they would have had in that time, would be an ox. And he's relating, God is like a strong ox. Nothing he can't do. Nothing he can't hold together. It's been interesting with the weather doing what it's doing all over the world, how many people are talking about, well, what's going on now? You know, we know it's not global warming. It's not climate change. It's not Mother Nature. It's God. And there are a lot of people saying, is this pointing to the end? Well, yeah. We see all kinds of things in Scripture that say the closer it comes to the Lord's return, the more things like this are going to happen. When's the last time a whole city was wiped out in one storm? And it's not. There's been more than one wiped out this year. There's been a lot. And for those of you who've been asking and haven't been able to get hold of Pastor Anderson and Reva, the tornado that went through their area was 4 miles from their house. So they were okay. So, but we see God in control of even the wind. Who was telling us the other day? I can't remember their illustration, but I saw it on the news. There was a building that had a planter around it, a brick planter, and the building was gone, and every brick was gone around that planter from one of these tornadoes, but the flowers were untouched. Let's see, huh? Yeah, not one petal on one flower, as close as they could tell, was destroyed. But the building was gone. I mean, gone. And all the bricks were gone from around these flowers, but not one flower damaged. In that one, the storm prior, where was it? Started with a T. Was it Tuscaloosa? There was a church, and everything around it was gone. This church, the only thing that was gone was the top of the steeple had tipped over. That global warming has really got something going for it. If it can remove the bricks and leave the flowers. Let's see. Selective harvesting of things. But should that not, for believers, say, God did this? Why he did it that way, I don't know. But when I see something like that or hear something like that, you know God's in control. Because nothing else could leave the flowers or leave a church and everything around it be gone except God. God is holy. Do we really think how holy God is? 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 13, says, therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your arrogance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God is holy. We call him Lord. Jehovah, the God of righteousness and holiness. He's the only one who is worthy to receive all honor and love from us. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by you will they exist and were created. All things were created. We understand from Genesis 1:1. He created everything. But it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." How many people today do not give Him all the glory and the honor and the power due His name? He also, in His Word, reveals warnings and punishments to us if we're disobedient. He's the Almighty God. No one greater, more powerful than He. He's the master over all mankind and ruler of the world. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve Him, and to Him you shall hold fast and take oaths in His name. He is your praise and He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude." He administers justice, but He's the Lord your God, God, the God of gods, Lord of lords, great, mighty, and awesome. And that word should be reserved for Him. Awesome. It's not an awesome sandwich. It's not an awesome cup of coffee. It's a word that we can use to describe our Heavenly Father. Look at Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 says, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am the master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you sow in what you have, we despise your name." He deserves our honor. He is the master, and we're to revere Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 say, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at the price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." How should we be treating ourselves? But how do we treat Him? We need to give Him glory for everything. He's the great provider. He provides all things that we need But he also provided a way for our salvation through giving us his Son. I was actually looking for this one this morning, Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, verse 15 says, "And Moses built an altar and called its name, The Lord is my banner." The Lord is my banner. I like this time of the year, Memorial Day weekend, because you get to see all the old war movies and stuff. And what do they always carry in battle out front? They carry their banner. They carry their flag, their company banner, flag, whatever you want to call it. They have another name for it. Ensign, yeah, if you were one of those Navy guys. And out in the front was your flag. And you know what? As we're in battle today with Satan, we should be carrying our banner high and knowing that the Lord is our banner. He's our strength. In a battle, when your ensign or your flag or your banner would go down, the next guy coming along would pick it up and keep going forward. You know what? We never have to pick him up. He picks us up. He takes care of us. He's our banner over us. And then, 1 Corinthians. See, by the time we get done, you should be able to, if somebody says, "Well, what does God mean to you?" I'll give you a couple little glimpses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, also passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." You know, sometimes when we're not sure, we're not stable, we need to remember that we're standing on the rock and that I can depend on that. We used to sing a song when we were little, build your house, the wise man built his house upon a rock, and the foolish man, and it went. We used to have some good sound effects with that one, but we can stand today no matter what comes our way if we stay firm and true on the rock. One true God, three persons, equal in divine perfection and executing distinct and harmonious office in the great work of redemption. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 14 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Isn't that not just cool? All three of them are with us all the time. The Holy Spirit's guiding us, directing us. Christ is making intercession for us whenever we pray. And God is God, in control. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Says, starting in verse 1, says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I may make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. All in all. Everything works together because God put it together. God planned it for us. So we see He's three in one. He's the true and living God. He's the only one worthy to give praise and honor. And we're supposed to give Him every bit of ourselves. And I think if we could ever figure that out to where we could be fully dependent on Him and not periodically try and do it in our own, that we would be in so much better shape. And that He gave us His Word so that we can see all of the attributes and all of the things that He does for us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You that You are our strength, that we can stand upon a rock which is a firm foundation because You love us so much. Father, I just pray that we will understand and grow closer to You each day through the study of Your Word, the reading of Your Word. Father, that we can understand all of the magnificent, wonderful, awesome things that You have in store for us, and that, Father, You have provided for us and